Radiolab is supported by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Wait, you're listening?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to Radiolab.
Radiolab.
From
WNYC.
See?
Yeah.
And NPR.
Hello.
We're going to start this show today.
Hey, Mary.
With Mary Roach.
Hey.
Tim here.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, let me see if I can...
Mary is one of our favorite authors, mostly because she kind of writes about stuff that's...
Yucky.
Gross.
I'm the kind of person, if I find myself in an operating room for whatever I'm reporting on, I'm the kind of person where they'll be like, Ms. Roach, you need to step back. Your head is actually inside the body cavity.
And for her latest book?
Called Gulp.
She got really, really into and inside cows.
Oh, yeah, the fistulated cows that the agricultural schools have.
And what's a fistulated cow?
A fistula is an irregular anatomical passageway.
And a fistulated cow,
in this case,
has a hole,
an opening,
right in its side,
sort of a
so that you can actually stick your hand into its side and reach all the way down
to the stomach.
This is a living cow, right? It's a
this
mooing.
Is a live cow.
And you've done this?
Yeah, it was this amazing because really, a cow is. About
she did it at the University of California, Davis.
You're standing there sort of normally, and for some reason I've worn a skirt and kitten heels, and my hosts are wearing manure encrusted muck boots, and this is a source of great entertainment that
pearls.
I'm here. Yeah, and it's packed really tightly. You got to really work your arm. The guy I was with, Ed DePeters, he's like, "No, keep going." I'm like, "I don't know, Ed. I'm not sure, really."
Go further in, or
yeah, keep going, and I'm literally up to my shoulder inside this cow.
I so want to do that.
Where are you guys?
We're in New York.
Yeah, I know where there's one out there. I can get you a fistulated cow.
You want to walk him down towards the barn and I'll go get the group?
All right, yeah.
I didn't actually get to do it, unfortunately, but we sent our producer, Tim Howard.
Hi, I'm Tim.
Out to Rutgers University.
Come on in closer.
Where a bunch of high schoolers had come to see...
Lily.
Lily, the fistulated cow.
Okay, let's give it a go. I'm going to pop the cork.
All right.
Did he say cork?
Yeah, you have to uncork the hole in the cow.
You see all the steam coming out? Ready?
All right.
This is Tim reaching his hand in.
Go straight across the top to the far side.
Okay. Oh, my God.
It's powerful in there.
Oh, God. Oh.
I mean, I was a little worried it was going to break my hand.
What, you mean like pressure?
Yeah.
It's a very muscular organ. It's
squeezing my arm.
Mixing and...
Wow, I can feel the side of the stomach pushing against me.
Squeezing and contracting.
Whoa.
And
right now it's just squeezing.
Really squeezing.
It's groping you back.
I'm stuck.
So I'm just going to try to go a little bit deeper.
And it's hot. It's steamy.
I don't know, it's like bubbly and...
Physical. It's very... Yeah.
And she is so calm right now. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it.
The cow's bored, and I've got this look on my face like I've seen God or something. I'm like, whoa!
Mary says that for all her times in morgues and in all the places she's been, this one was really different.
The expression I was wearing, I'm sure I've never had cause to use.
And here's why. If you think about it,
the stomach is a center of magical transformation.
That is Fred Kaufman, who wrote a whole book about the stomach.
You take something outside of your body, you put it in your body, and it turns into you.
So it's like this conduit between what's outside you and what's inside.
The other thing that's weird is that the human body is a torus. We're donuts. We've got a hole going through the middle of us, all the way through us. So what seems to be inside us, what seems to be inside our stomach, actually is always outside us.
Oh, this is getting so deep.
You don't like the Taurus?
No, I think it's great. I think I'll go with
Because I was thinking we could start that way, because that's what we're kind of doing this hour. We're going to take this thing that's deep inside us.
And turn it inside out.
Yeah. I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
This is Radiolab, and today...
Guts!
That mystery that lies between our mouth...
And... our butts.
We are these sacks of guts. And we walk in these skeletons, and we walk around, and we never even see them. We don't, and for centuries, nobody really knew what's going on in there.
But then something happened that opened up a window.
Yeah. Do you want to start?
Yeah, let's start at the beginning of it.
Yeah, let's once upon a time it.
Okay. So.
Once upon a time.
It all begins.
And when is this?
They first met in 1822.
Once upon a time in 1822, there was a guy named William Beaumont.
William Beaumont is a farm boy from Lebanon, Connecticut, five brothers and six sisters.
And William
clearly is the smart one.
He was the one with the big dreams.
So at an early age,
he leaves home
and gets himself a job as a doctor,
an army doctor
up north
at Fort Mackinac, which is this it's a trading post, basically.
So Beaumont, he has a little doctor's office at the top of this hill. And at the bottom,
there's a general store
for fur traders who would come in from Canada.
Super hardy dudes. Like, it's cold up there and they're going out in canoes and they're running with these huge packages of furs on their backs.
I imagine big beards.
Sure.
In any case, that was all just set up. Here's the actual story. One day,
June 6th, 1822.
Normal morning.
All the fur traders come in and are unloading and loading and
getting their coffee, salted meat,
supplies to go out,
trap some fur, when all of a sudden,
boom!
Right outside the shop,
somebody's gun went off. Somebody calls Beaumont. Beaumont
dashes out the door,
runs down the hill, finds this guy,
this 18-year-old kid,
really in bad shape.
The kid's lying on the ground. He's a big guy, muscular, but he's covered in blood.
And he has a hole
right below his ribcage,
about the size of the palm of a grown man's hand.
Nobody was sure what happened, but someone's gun had gone off
by accident
and shot this boy point blank.
His lungs are dripping out. There's blood.
This is what Beaumont sees when
he
shows up.
This is what Beaumont sees. And the other thing Beaumont sees is food coming out of his stomach.
Meat and bread and coffee.
Yeah.
Basically, the remnants of his breakfast spilled out.
On the ground, right in front of him.
You can kind of see the gears turning in Beaumont's head as if he's thinking,
whoa, there it is.
Digestion in action.
Which was kind of disgusting, but it was also something of a revelation because in 1822,
the stomach was an area of mystery. Just like today we're aware the brain is an area of mystery.
And for centuries, people believed that the stomach, and more broadly the gut, was in a very real way the center of our beings.
Yes, in Puritan times, the bowels are the seat of human sympathy.
You know, like where our deepest feelings come from.
If you have bowels for somebody, that means you sympathize with them.
Oh, was that something people would say?
Absolutely.
Oh, we should bring that term back.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I have bowels for you.
Point is, medical science was pretty fuzzy on what happens down there. I mean, they knew it was important, but they had no idea how it worked. Like, how does food become us?
Nobody understood it.
Because they can't see. You can't directly observe it without opening the person up.
But here was a guy open right up.
But of course, Beaumont is a doctor, so he's like, wait, I've got to save this guy. So he starts sewing him up frantically. Pretty sure this fellow's not going to make it.
And he was surprised that 2 days later the guy was alive.
Really surprised. And as the months passed, this kid...
St. Martin.
That was his name, Alexis St. Martin. He gets better, but...
A year later, he still has his hole in his stomach.
The hole never closes.
What happened is he grew a fistula.
You know, just like the cow we talked about earlier, except in this case, he didn't have a cork where he was wounded. He had a flap of skin covering the hole. If you wanted to, you just pull back the flap and look inside.
And we don't know if Beaumont left it that way on purpose. What we do know... is that he sees an opportunity.
To make the body give up its secrets.
He sees he's got something that nobody else has.
Maybe he even thinks.
This man could be my ticket out of being a lowly Fort Mackinac doctor.
So Beaumont kind of hires him as a man around his house.
As a manservant. You know, he said, oh, it was a charitable thing. I wanted to help him.
You know, because he couldn't work.
And I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe, maybe not.
And so about a year later, he starts.
Come on in.
He starts his experiments.
Oh my lord, this is straight out of a movie.
While reporting this story, we ended up visiting the rare book room at the New York Academy of Medicine, which is pretty much the coolest room ever. It's all mahogany, and they've got like ancient skulls sitting on top of bookshelves, and the books are
hundreds and hundreds of years old.
In any case, the librarian, Arlene Shaner, showed us around, and then put on some white gloves, disappeared between some stacks, and came out with a little purple book.
Beaumont's Observations. Experiment 1 is on August 1st, 1825. So, at 12 o'clock, I introduced through the perforation into the stomach the following articles of diet.
So what he does is he takes different foods.
A piece of raw salted fat pork.
Some corned beef, you know, like a 1-inch square of corned beef.
A piece of stale bread.
And he attaches them to a silk string, and he inserts them.
Through the artificial opening into the stomach.
Into the stomach for an hour. Then he takes it out.
Like a fisherman?
Yeah. Yeah, he's fishing. He's doing stomach fishing. And he takes it out and he records, you know.
So it was an hour later.
How much was digested.
Withdrew and examined them. Found the cabbage and bread about half digested. The pieces of meat.
This went on for hours.
Returned them into the stomach. At 2 o'clock p.m. withdrew them again.
In hours.
Returned them into the stomach again.
For years. Over the next few years, Beaumont puts anything he can possibly think of into that stomach.
Pig's feet soused, take an hour. Animal brains boiled, take an hour and 45 minutes. Fresh eggs hard boiled, take 3 hours and 30 minutes. Soft boiled, take 3 hours. Fresh eggs fried, take 3 hours and 30 minutes. Fresh eggs roasted, take 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Look, it's just the totality of food in America at that point.
Whipped eggs take an hour and a half.
He's trying everything.
Baked custard takes 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh my God, it goes on for pages.
On and on.
Alexis St. Martin is becoming increasingly irritable about this whole process.
I would imagine. Because a lot of the times the things that Beaumont would stick into his stomach would make him sick. Give him
a fever, pain in his head, depressed pulse, dry skin, coated tongue, and numerous.
So in 1825, 3 years after this all started, St. Martin finally bolts. Goes back to Canada, gets married, even has a few kids. All the while, Beaumont is writing him letters, trying to lure him back.
And he was offering him, okay, I'll pay for your family. Okay, I'll give you $50 a year. Okay, I'll give you $75. I mean, he's like, I'll throw in the land.
Because, you know, he still wanted to know. Like, all right, fine, it takes
3 hours and 15 minutes
to digest a carrot.
Oyster soup, 3.5 hours.
Or soup, whatever. But how does it work? How does the stomach do it?
And eventually, because he needs the money, Alexis St. Martin does come back.
Beaumont starts his experiments again.
And one night, while Beaumont is peering into the boy's stomach, he gets his answer.
He says, he applies a few crumbs of bread to the inner surface of the stomach. Immediately afterwards, small, sharp papillae became visible.
He saw little pimples form on the wall of the stomach. And out of the pimples?
Exuded a clear, transparent liquor.
Outsquirt some juice.
And that was it.
That's the magic juice.
Clear, almost transparent, tasted a little saltish and acid.
Ooh.
When applied to the tongue.
Yeah, tasting. A lot of tasting went on.
And then
he would collect the stomach acid and see if you could digest outside the body. Because there was this theory that the body had this vital force, and that was necessary for the bodily processes, including digestion. So if you took the stomach acid out, what would happen?
December 14th, 1829, at 1 o'clock p.m., I took 1.5 ounces of gastric juice fresh from the stomach, put into it 12 drams recently salted beef boiled.
The theory at the time was, oh, it wouldn't work. You had to have the magical powers of the human body.
But digestion commenced.
Beaumont, one of his big discoveries was, no, you don't.
That actually there are no secret forces of sympathy and excitement driving things. It's a chemical.
That's what it's all about.
Now, Beaumont didn't know it, but that juice he was seeing,
which he called
gastric juice,
those are enzymes. And what enzymes are like little chemical scissors. They break down food so that you can take something in from the outside, like this carrot,
and absorb it. But it becomes literally a part of you.
The key to the whole thing, the key to life, are enzymes.
In a way, they are the magical force, just in chemical form.
That's it. That's the truth. He was the first to understand it, the first to see it, the first to figure out the method of how to prove it, and he proved it.
So Beaumont writes a book about this.
And this book is published in 1833.
and he becomes famous.
People were fascinated by Beaumont's experiments.
He would kind of go on these tours.
He's called over to Yale University.
Gets invited to speak in Europe.
With his, you know, wherever he goes, he brings his gastric juice and he lectures
there. From the dude's stomach?
Yeah. Yeah, he travels around with it.
And whenever he could, he would take St. Martin with him.
St. Martin was his PowerPoint. You know, he's like, I need you, man. I need you on the stage so everybody else can come up and stick their tongue in your stomach.
For William Beaumont, this works out pretty great.
He's thought of as this, you know, tremendous contributor to the understanding of digestion.
As for Alexis St. Martin,
he was a curiosity. He was a medical curiosity.
For the rest of his life.
For the day he dies.
Even in death.
His body is a hot commodity.
And his family was very aware of this. They let his body rot in the sun for 3 days and then buried him very deeply and put big rocks over him so he would not be exhumed.
Thanks to Arlene Shaner at the New York Academy of Medicine and Fred Kaufman, who wrote a book called A Short History of the American Stomach.
And a special thanks to Mary Roach. Her forthcoming book is called Gulp, A Trip Down the Alimentary Canal.
Hey, everybody. Frederick Kaufman here. I'm giving my shot at the credits. So here we go. Radiolab is supported in part by the National Science Foundation and
the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, enhancing public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
More information about Sloan at www.sloan.org.
Radiolab is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR.
NPR.
This is Mary Roach. Thanks. Bye.